Ring the bell, sucker.
That was me trying to sing like Jackie Chan. It was in a slightly lower register, but I'm doing my best.
It was also set to the default dramatic piano sound clip that's in the Zencastr soundboard.
You know that Jackie Chan would sing to any dramatic piano.
I do know that, Matt.
This is the show where Chris Sims and I, Matt Wilson, we beat up movies after we watch them. I got that a little wrong, but it's fine.
It's a great way to kick off 2017. Just fucking up the show.
For our episode for January, we have decided to take a listener request and watch a movie that was recommended to us by CJ Krall. Recommended this movie. It's called Robin B. Hood. It is not a particularly well-known Jackie Chan movie from 2006. It is what you might think of as like a straight comedy. Less an action movie, more a full-on comedy, which is what he was getting more into by the mid-2000s as he was getting a little older. It does represent a reunion for him of sorts, because in the movie, Jackie Chan and Louis Koo play two kind of petty thugs who work for a crime boss played by Michael Hui, who was in Cannonball Run with Jackie Chan. It's their first time on screen together since Cannonball Run.
And also Yuen Biao is in it, who you might know as the second of the three dragons, who are Jackie Chan, Yuen Biao, and Sammo Hung, who have appeared in the film with the same name, who all went to the Chinese opera school together as children and then became movie stars together.
Sammo Hung was originally supposed to be in this movie, but had to drop out due to scheduling conflicts, I suspect because of his television show on CBS.
Wait, you're telling me this is from the era of martial law?
I believe so. Wasn't martial law on in the mid-2000s?
Martial law was on in the mid-90s. Like, that's Nash Bridges era, because I'm pretty sure martial law was a spinoff of Nash Bridges.
It was the late 90s. Okay, so it wouldn't have been because of martial law, but some kind of scheduling conflict prevented Sammo Hung from being in this movie. From the look of it, you might call this movie Hong Kong Raising Arizona.
Sold. I am 1,000,000% in. This is a treat to us. We got through some rough stuff over the holidays, so this is a treat.
Yeah, it really is. It is about, as I said, two petty criminals kidnapping a baby, and then they gain parental feelings toward that baby after they kidnap the child. And so it's about them, you know, actually deciding that maybe they want to keep this baby and take care of it instead of giving it back or using it as the leverage that they originally kidnapped it to be. Here is also a bit of trivia from IMDb that I would just like to read in full. Will you allow that, Chris?
This time I will allow it.
All right. Director Benny Chan described the filming process as some of the darkest days of his career, explaining that the baby was a factor beyond his control and could not work more than 8 hours a day. Whenever a scene involving the baby was shot, the crew members had to be silent, communicating in sign language. Benny Chan stated that it took time, patience, and money to guide the baby through each shot, and numerous retakes were required due to the baby's constant crying and napping. As a result, production went over budget. Special methods were sometimes used to coax the baby into cooperation. One scene required the baby to suckle Chan's nipple. That's Jackie Chan, not Benny Chan.
Yeah, I got that.
Who, by the way, Benny Chan and Jackie Chan, not related. Just happened to have the same last name. The baby was initially hesitant, but relented after the crew brushed a large amount of honey onto the nipple.
What I'm hearing here is that, like, Benny Chan was, like, completely unfamiliar with babies. Like, the concept of a baby before filming this movie. Like, yeah, I can't believe it. It was so terrible. We had to be quiet. The baby, like, couldn't work.
Well,
dude, it's a baby.
Well, Benny Chan isn't exactly a comedy director. him deciding that, okay, I'm going to direct this comedy movie with a baby in it, is very different from the rest of his filmography. Because this is the guy who directed New Police Story. He directed Who Am I? He's kind of like a John Woo action kind of guy.
Yeah, you know? those would be what I would consider, especially New Police Story, to be relatively serious to very serious Jackie Chan movies. Like, New Police Story is, like, pretty dark, actually, if memory serves, if it's the one I'm thinking about.
He also directed the first two Gen X Cops movies.
Gen X Cops, also a little darker than you expect. Gen X Cops billed in America as being the newest Jackie Chan movie. Jackie Chan has a cameo in Gen X Cops 1, and I do not believe he appears in Gen X Cops 2.
Well, I'll tell you this. Gen X Cops, you cannot believe how Gen X they are.
They're so Gen X.
Gen X. Anyway.
They might as well be called Reality Bites Cops.
But yeah, he's like a serious action director. It's not surprising per se that he is baffled by the idea of trying to direct a baby.
One thing that I want to talk about before we get into the movie, like we said, this was recommended to us by listener CJ Kroll. And CJ, like, listen, if you've listened to our show before, if you've listened to Warlock and Ajax before, you know that we're Jackie Chan guys. Like, I am currently sitting next to an autographed, framed Rumble in the Bronx poster. Matt got me an album of Jackie Chan's songs for Christmas. Like, I've read his autobiography. I am a Chan fan. But that's not the only reason we picked this movie. We're not just, like copping out on our duty that we have sworn to do to experience and battle against the weird and terrible corners of cinema. CJ says this in his letter. The plot is basically one of those, what? Two men take care of a baby? Hijinks ensue kind of movies. The reason that I want you to watch this movie, though, is the ending. The movie's ending is one of the most shocking movie endings that I have ever seen. Seriously, the last 15 minutes of this movie will leave you breathless and give both of you guys a lot to talk about. I have no idea what to expect. I mean, that's like, I don't want to set the standards too high, but that is a promise that I am pretty stoked about. Like, I want to see a Jackie Chan movie with a truly incomprehensible last 15 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I have a few guesses as to what it might be. If he says that we absolutely will not see it coming, then I have to suspect that it can't be that thing. Because what I have in mind is a little bit obvious.
Okay, well, you've done a little bit of research. Like, you've read the Wikipedia page. You usually go to IMDb and check it out.
I have
Did
not
you
read
see
the,
anything about the ending?
I have not read the plot summary on IMDb.
Okay, do you want to make predicts? Do you want to make some bets right now?
Here's what I would have predicted, just based on the ending being very shocking.
Okay.
Is that somehow the baby is killed.
Wow, okay. I hope that's not the case, because that'll be very upsetting.
It would be upsetting, but wouldn't that be the shocking ending?
That would be a very shocking ending. My prediction is that the end of this movie is going to involve an extended fight sequence where the baby fights like Jackie Chan.
Okay.
That's my prediction. Like, we're gonna, like, that maybe Jackie did some mocap, and they, like, because I was originally thinking, you know, it's a Jackie Chan Yuen Biao movie, it's one that I haven't heard of, so it seems like it's kind of obscure. So I was thinking this would have been a movie from, like, the early 90s that just never made it over to America. But if this is like a mid-2000s movie, like a later era Jackie Chan movie, you know, post-Rush Hour, then that opens up like a whole new world of possibilities. And I'm 100% thinking that we're going to see a baby fight, like a baby doing stunts, like Jackie Chan. Like CGI baby karate fight or kung fu fight. That's what I'm predicting.
I think it is rather telling that this movie was never released in the U.S., at least theatrically. It was almost certainly released on DVD. You can buy it streaming on Amazon. But it never got, you know, the Police Story 3 or Rumble in the Bronx U.S. release, you know?
And we were talking about that. Like, it's something that you and I and our friend Ben Gully often talk about, is that there was this golden age that we didn't even know we were living in, where, like, every year, for about a 4 or 5 year stretch, you were guaranteed 2, sometimes 3 new Jackie Chan movies getting theatrically released. Maybe they weren't, like, everywhere. Like, I think I had to drive to Columbia to see First Strike in the theaters. but like, you know, Super Cop, Rumble in the Bronx, even getting up into like the Tuxedo, which I gladly sat through on opening night, and it is a piece of shit.
Because those movies were coming out concurrent to your American Jackie Chan movies, your Rush Hours and so forth. So you were getting all that stuff.
Yeah. And then it just stopped. Like, I think the last Jackie Chan movie that I saw in a theater was the Journey to the West kind of movie that had Jackie Chan and Jet Li in it. But, like, the main character was, like, some white kid.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. Like, that was the last time I remember seeing a Jackie Chan movie in the theater. Like, even seeing one, like, advertised as, like, coming to theaters. I mean, maybe that was before Around the World in 80 Days, which I actually have not seen, and which we should watch on this show, because your Twitter icon was from it forever.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely been in other movies since then, but not as, like, the star.
Yeah.
Like, he does a voice in some of the Kung Fu Panda movies. He was in that Karate Kid movie with Jaden Smith.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, maybe the last, like, starring Jackie Chan movie... Rush Hour 3, maybe? Or maybe that Around the World in 80 Days. I'm not sure.
Well, I mean, they have announced Rush Hour 4, and he is rumored to reprise his role.
Okay.
Oh, and then he was in that movie this year where it was him and Johnny Knoxville, which I guess that came out because it's listed as 2016, but I did not see a trailer for it.
Yeah, it seems like it might have gotten buried. Let's watch Robin B. Hood. One last note before... We get into this, though. Robin B. Hood, or Rob B. Hood, as it's known in some places, was not the original title of this movie. The original title of this movie was the very clever Project BB.
Oh, that's funny, because he's so well-known for Project A.
Yeah.
That's a good joke. That's a good joke.
Project BB, like BB is baby.
Like BB.
It's very clever, and I don't know why it's not the title, but instead it's Robin B. Hood. We're going to watch it in just a second, but first, Chris, we've got to do the hottest segment in podcasting, Snack Situation. You'll have to fight with something to eat, sometimes the savory, sometimes the sweet. Snack Situation, what's up, snack it on? Now, Chris, we have, each of us, a big bag of snacks from Beijing.
From China.
Yes, a big bag of Chinese snacks. But we are not going to dig into it, even though we're watching this Chinese film.
It was discussed.
There is so much stuff in this bag, and we feel like it would be a disservice to try it off mic, not be able to talk about it as we're trying it and really devote a lot of attention to it. So we're going to hold out hope that we reach our Patreon goal of doing monthly Snack Situation specials and be able to debut the monthly Snack Situation specials with this Chinese snack bag. So instead, we're doing different snacks for Robin B. Hood. Chris, what are you snacking on?
It is 2017. It's a new year. This is our first Movie Fighters of the new year. It's our January episode. And as I have said on the most recent War Rocket Ajax, it is time for us to put this podcast game in a chokehold.
That's right.
We're doing it. So it's January. It's 2017. It's back to basics. We're going old school. So when we pause and we go watch the movie, I'm not going to go directly into the movie. I'm going to go directly into the kitchen. I'm going to pop some popcorn. I have a movie theater style box of peanut M&Ms, and I'm going to get myself a cheer wine, and I'm going to watch this movie while I eat popcorn and candy and soda. That is my snack situation. Back to basics. Podcast game. Chokehold.
My snack situation, I put a little thought into this.
Mm-hmm.
We are watching what is nominally a Chinese film,
mm-hmm.
but is specifically a film from Hong Kong. And when you think about Hong Kong, you think about two cultures. You think about the culture of China, and you also think about the culture of the United Kingdom, for which Hong Kong was a colony of sorts for many, many years. Nearly a century, I believe. So, what I have is a tube of McVitie's Hobnobs, an incredibly British treat.
Matt, I did not expect snack situation to get weirdly geopolitical.
Yeah. Hobnobs are these, like, little, I guess if I'm going to use British terminology, oatmeal biscuits with a layer of chocolate on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And they are quite delicious. They are some of my favorite snacks that I tried in the UK when I was there. Marlene and I, my wife and I, have taken on the habit of when we give each other gifts in our stockings for Christmas, we just go to World Market and buy each other British snacks.
That's so cute. That is delightful.
So
I actually, yeah. You know, I wish you would have told me this before, because I actually have a box that Kieran Sheehack brought me from England of Mrs. Kipling's Cherry Bakewells, because I laughed so fucking hard when you just mentioned the name of those.
So I'm going to eat these Hobnobs while we're watching the movie. There's not a ton of options for you to watch along with us to watch Robin B. Hood. You can rent it on Amazon. That is the only streaming option I know of. And there is DVD availability. It is a rarer film, so you may have to go looking for it. Just FYI, if you would like to watch along with us. But if you do get the opportunity to watch it along with us, it's also available on DVD on Netflix if you have Netflix DVDs. Watch along with us if you can. If not, we're going to take a little pause. You're going to hear an ad and a musical interlude. We're going to watch the movie, and then we're going to come back and talk about Robin B. Hood. We are back from watching Robin B. Hood, also known as Rob B. Hood. And there were tears.
Tears. Like, literal, we both had tears in our eyes. CJ, you were not kidding.
No, you were not. We laughed so hard. I couldn't speak.
I thought I was going to throw up. I was laughing so hard. I legit had that, like, laughing until I cough thing going on.
And I don't know if it was intentionally supposed to be funny, because it was played dramatic.
It's definitely not. It's so dramatic. But okay. Here's what I will say about this movie right at the start, okay?
All
right. Something that we didn't mention, we were a little bit reluctant to do this movie because it is 2 hours and 15 minutes long. It's a very, very long movie. And I will say, you could easily cut an hour out of this movie. This movie could be 75 minutes and be fucking amazing. But for the first 100 minutes of this movie, like the first hour and 45 minutes of this movie, it's boring. It's weirdly dark. It keeps, like, almost being a Jackie Chan movie. Like, there'll be, like, a little bitty tiny fight that'll last, like, a minute and then stop. And then the last half hour of this movie is buck wild.
Here's the way I would describe it. The first hour and 45 minutes has intermittent action, light humor, and incredibly dark human tragedy. That is the mix of the first hour 45.
Yeah.
With family drama that never really totally pays off in any demonstrable way. The last half hour is the most bananas crazy thing we have ever watched.
For movie fighters movies, I was like, this is the craziest thing we've ever seen. This is like bonkers.
Myra Breckinridge might edge it out for like total off the wall craziness, but our reaction to Myra Breckinridge was, what is happening and why? Right?
Yeah. I mean, that movie was incomprehensible.
It was incomprehensible.
Was the problem with that.
Yes. This is just, what? That's happening now?
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
This? Like, it just kept building. Like, one insane thing would happen, and then another insane thing would happen, and it would just be one thing building on the next. CJ said we were not going to be able to predict what happened, and he was totally right about that. Our predictions from before we started watching, I'm not going to say they were way off the mark, because even though in the course of the movie, the baby, in the fiction of the movie, the baby does not die, in reality, the baby dies 6 times. There are 6 different points in this movie where that baby should have been full on dead.
Oh, the first thing I wrote in my notes was just the phrase, that baby dead. Like, we are introduced to this movie with a baby in severe peril that climaxes in, like, the baby clearly being dead. like that baby would have died at that moment. I think we can probably get, honestly, through the first 90 minutes of this movie fairly quickly. Because there's a lot of subplots, but they're subplots that come up and are established, and then they linger. They just, like, hang out in the background until it's time for it all to come together at the end. So, Matt, let's...
The most important parts of the movie are the first maybe 20 minutes and the last half hour.
If you watch this movie, and I would I'll tell you this right now, strong recommend, but the second you start getting bored, like, skip ahead until you get to, like, a car chase, watch that, and then skip ahead again to 1 hour and 50 minutes, and enjoy your popcorn, like I did. We've got thong and octopus.
He's plural, thongs.
Yeah, thongs. Thongs and octopus.
Thongs is Jackie Chan.
And octopus is Louis Koo.
Yeah. Louis Koo is considerably younger than Jackie Chan. He ends up stepping up to do some of the stunts that Jackie would have done when he was younger, but was probably too old to do when they made this movie. They have broken into a hospital, and they are stealing whatever they can get their hands on. Drugs, particularly. Pharmaceuticals.
Well, they crack the safe, and then they take the cash, and then they also start stealing drugs. And there's, like, a moment where he's like, yeah, these are, like, $89 each, as he's holding a pill. And Jackie, like, slaps him on the back of the head and says, no, take the drugs that people use for chemotherapy. Those are worth, like, $8,000, which is, like, a real shitty thing to do. Because the movie's called Robin B. Hood. I was like, oh, okay. So they're going to steal these and then, like, give them to, like, the poor. Like, they're going to, you know, sell them cheap to the poor people who need them. That's not what happens in this movie. They're just thieves. There's no Robin Hood shit at all.
This movie being called Rob B. Hood or Robin B. Hood instead of Project BB is dumb as fuck. Like, it makes no sense for it to be called that. Because they are not humanitarian crooks. They're just in it for money from the get-go. Because they're working for their boss, landlord, who is actually a landlord. Like, he owns the building that they live in.
And we should say right up front, Thong and Octopus have names. Weird thongs, I guess. Thongs and Octopus. Weird names. Landlord is just called Landlord. His wife is just called Landlady. The baby is just called Baby until literally the last shot of the movie. And well, I don't even know what the nurse's name was.
Well, their boss is called Uncle.
There is one dude who has a name, though. There is one dude who has a name. Mac Daddy.
Mac Daddy has a name. There's a character named Max who we'll get to in just a second.
Yeah. So they're robbing the hospital, and while they're doing that, someone else is committing a hospital crime. A jilted lover. There's a woman who has just given birth. She is being wheeled back from, like, the operating room or wherever it is you give birth, I guess, to her hospital room. And she and her baby are abducted by her jilted lover.
Whose name is Max.
That's Max.
That is one of the few characters who has a name. There's also a police inspector whose name is Steve Mock.
Yeah, that's Yuen Biao, who, by the way, does nothing in this movie. He has, like, one little 20-second exchange with Jackie Chan, but does not do anything. And I kind of wonder, like, I don't know as much about Yuen Biao as I do about Jackie Chan, and I know that Jackie Chan is exceptional to be doing his work at his age. So I don't know if, like, Yuen Biao is, like, retired in 2006.
Well, they have one kind of little fight scene exchange in an apartment fairly late in the movie, but that's about it. So Max steals this baby away from his ex-lover because there's a dispute over who the father of the baby is. Max thinks that he's the father of the baby. And she thinks that her husband is the father because she's married to a different guy. She is also a member of a very wealthy, well-known Hong Kong family. They are the richest family in Hong Kong. They have $50 billion. That is a number that is given in the movie, which in U.S. dollars, that's like $6 billion, but it's still pretty good.
So, I wouldn't turn it down.
I would not either. So he takes the baby, goes running off, and there are two concurrent chases going on because Jackie Chan or Thongs and Octopus get caught with their drugs because they're wearing lab coats, but they're wearing lab coats over criminal clothes. Like, their disguise is put a lab coat on over your sneaking suit. Like, they're the fucking dude from Splinter Cell.
Okay, yes. Well, they're basically dressed like Tom Cruise in the Mission Impossible. Like, it's all black with, like belts and backpacks and shit.
So, even though the guards don't know what they've stolen, once they get their lab coats off, they immediately identify them as criminals. And so there's a chase that's going through the hospital with them. There's a little funny sequence where Jackie Chan is, like, jumping from one bathroom stall to another, hiding from one of the guards. That's pretty well choreographed. There's also a thing where Jackie Chan slides down a big banister. That's kind of fun. But while they're being chased, guards are also chasing Max, who has stolen a baby. There's a big confrontation on an escalator. And in that confrontation on the escalator, like, Max is on a high escalator. Thongs and Octopus are on an escalator a couple floors below that.
Yeah, he's on, like, the fourth or fifth floor. They're on the second.
Yeah.
It's such a long way.
The baby in this confrontation goes flying into the air, falls down to where Jackie Chan is standing, and Jackie Chan grabs the like swaddling clothes, the blanket that the baby is wrapped in, and just catches it by that.
Yeah, there's a much easier way to put this, which is that baby gets Gwen Stacy'd.
Yeah.
Look, it's obviously not a baby, but they very clearly, like, he grabs it, and then the momentum just smacks that fucking baby into the side of the escalator. Like, and that's the first one I was like, that baby did.
Yes. Even then, it's not over, because all that Thongs has a hold of is the cloth, and so the baby is dangling out of the blanket, and eventually falls out of that, and, like, nurses have to catch the baby after that. The baby gets saved, is returned to the family. In that whole thing, Max falls off the escalator and dies.
Yeah.
And even though we don't actually get this until very late in the movie, Max's father, who is a crime boss, and who happens to be uncle and landlord's overlord boss, spends the entire rest of the movie trying to get that baby back because he thinks that Max is the baby's real father, and so that he's the grandfather. So that is the motivation through the rest of the movie for the criminals wanting this baby, which is not clear until the very end of the movie.
So here's what happens for the rest of the film. We are introduced to everybody's faults. Thongs, Jackie Chan, is a compulsive gambler. Like, he gambles away all of his money. So he keeps, like, gambling away all of his money and losing and taking out loans from loan sharks. That's who Mac Daddy is. Mac Daddy's a loan shark. So we see him and Octopus, like, basically just having to do random-ass jobs. And I kind of love that they're not, like, jewel thieves, and they're not, like, safecrackers. They're just, they will steal whatever and find a buyer for it later. We see them stealing shark fins and abalone and, like, pharmaceuticals and all kinds of shit. So that's Jackie's deal. Octopus is like really into fast cars and fast women, but he's also married. So he keeps blowing all his money on like buying a Ferrari and like nice clothes for all these girls that he's taking out. But he has a wife who's working as like, she hands out free samples for various businesses. We see her at a chicken restaurant, a sushi restaurant. We see her handing out tissues, samples, in various costumes. And there's a part where she confronts him while he's on a date with another woman because he wants to get divorced, but she's pregnant.
Well, it's heavily implied that he's with this other woman to scam her out of money.
Yes.
Because part of this whole thing is that this lady is rich, and they're at dinner together, and he's like trying to talk her out of money. And when his wife shows up in her chicken costume, he has to go outside and say, like, look, this is business that I'm doing. I have clients that are both men and women. You have to let me do this. Marriage is about trust and space, and you're giving me neither one. And she's like, I haven't seen you in 2 months, and I'm pregnant. Because before that, he's saying, I want a divorce. We shouldn't have gotten married when I was 18. That was a mistake. Let's get a divorce. I don't want to be married anymore. And then she drops the I'm pregnant bomb. And that leads to a gag where it looks like he's going to give her a ride in his fancy Ferrari, but instead, he's opening his Ferrari door to get something out, and he closes the door and he says, don't walk home, you should take the bus. So he's very dismissive of his wife, like even after she tells him that she's pregnant.
And there's also landlord. His wife has gone insane because they had a baby several years ago, and the baby got – what was it? It was
– meningitis.
Meningitis. The baby got meningitis, and landlord never took the baby to the doctor, so the baby died, and the wife went crazy, and now she's just carrying around like a doll all the time, and this has been going on for years. Now, right now, what you're saying is, Chris, Matt, that sounds really dark. That sounds like this Jackie Chan movie is working some rough chuckles from the start, and you are right, dear listener. You are very correct in that assumption.
There are some extremely sad scenes, especially involving Landlord, throughout this movie.
Landlord's eyes are going, and so he's like trying to get out of the game.
Yeah, he thought that he was going to be done after this like robbery of the hospital and a few more jobs, because he's got $3 million inside a safe in his bedroom. And the first thing we see where landlady is around is he's putting money in the safe, and she asks him, why are you putting money in a refrigerator? And he has to be like, no, it's not a refrigerator, it's a safe.
It's really difficult to tell if this is like meant to be, oh, like landlady doesn't know what that is, or if it's like, oh yeah, I have a safe that looks like a mini fridge that we keep in the bedroom in the apartment.
But it's also very obviously a safe. It's got a touchpad on the outside and all that kind of stuff. So it's hard to say. Also, it is established very early on that landlord is a safecracker. That is his like main skill. So it's almost like ironic that he keeps all his money in a safe. And then very early on in the movie, he and landlady return home, find their apartment ransacked, and the safe opened and all the money gone.
There's a scene where he's trying to teach Octopus and Thongs how to crack a safe. And, like, so he's got these tumblers set up, and he's like, yeah, listen, I can put a hair in there, and I can tell when the dial hits even a hair. And Jackie's like, oh, that's impossible. That's crazy. But landlord can do it. This will be important later. So we go on for a while with this, just those guys being shitty dudes, which is weird, because for a very long time...
There's another thing about Thongs.
Okay.
In addition to Thongs being a gambler, he has a big family. He has several brothers and sisters. They all have kids. And they have a dad who is an older man. And, you know, Thongs wants to be included in the family. There's a scene where he shows up to his family's house, and Mac Daddy is there shaking his family members down for money, for the money that Thongs owes. Jackie Chan like chases them off, he's got on like a nice suit and he's got a bunch of gifts with him. And he starts like handing out gifts to everybody. And he's like, hey, sister, I got you this. Hey, brother, I got you this. Dad, I got you this. Niece and nephew, here's some stuff I got for you. And everybody's just like, we don't want these gifts. We want you to pay your debts off. You're ruining this family, basically. Yeah.
It's really weird to see this movie spend like about a half an hour, I would say. I told you when we were watching, I'm like, yeah, it's 34 minutes and the baby just showed up in this movie where Jackie Chan kidnaps a baby. But like, it's weird to see a half an hour of this movie just showing us these three guys being like kind of shitty dudes with kind of shitty lives. Because for so long, Jackie Chan would not play a villain. Like, he did Killer Meteors really early in his career, where he played the bad guy, because he was under contract to the Shaw Brothers. But then, like, since then, he just, like, wouldn't do it. Like, he didn't do movies where he played the villain. And he's not a villain here, but he is, like, a really shitty dude for a really long time.
He comes around to being the thief with a heart of gold, but he has to learn that he has that heart of gold.
Compared this to... you know, the police story movies like First Strike and Super Cop or Rumble in the Bronx, like where he's very much like a fully formed character who does not really have an arc. It's weird to see here.
Especially since he's like almost 60 in this.
Yes.
And now is when he's like learning life lessons, right?
Yeah. There's a scene where he's like, no, I'm a real shitty dude. And like the love interest, who's this nurse who's clearly 40 years younger than Jackie Chan. Like, and I say love interest, but it's not like they kiss or anything, which is good. But she's like this young hot lady who's like, it's never too late. You can start being better now. And I'm like, oh, well, that's nice that Jackie Chan learned to be a better dude.
I would say she's 30 years younger, not 40.
I don't know, dude. I don't know. She's like in her 20s.
She's not 17.
No.
Anyway, the reason that they are tasked with going to kidnap this baby is that immediately after, landlord gets robbed and loses all his money. He gets a phone call, and the phone call is from his boss uncle, who has gotten orders from his boss, Max's dad, to go kidnap this baby. Because the big crime boss guy thinks that he's this baby's grandfather and wants it. So they are offered $7 million to go kidnap this baby. And so,
landlord does not tell them they're going to kidnap a baby. Landlord tells them they're going to do a robbery, but he doesn't tell them what they're going in for until the crime is on.
Until they are at the van with a baby in a bag.
Well, they find they go and crack a safe, and they open it up, and they're like, yeah, this is so weird. Like, there's no money in here. There's just, like, I think they say, like, yeah, it's just a little bit of foreign money. And then they find landlord, who is, like, taking the baby. And Jackie has this speech with him outside where he's like, look, we said when we started there was no rape, no murder, no arson, and no assault.
And kidnapping was in there, too. Like, basically, he was like, thieves have to have ethics. Like, yeah. Even thieves have to have ethics.
And the response to that is amazing. Landlord says, ethics is for reference only. Which I think is a great line.
Yeah. That leads to a little car chase scene. I don't even really quite understand what's happening in the car thing that's happening after this. Because they end up getting chased by the crime boss's men, who I guess want to intercept them and take the baby immediately.
Yeah, I don't really get that either, and it's pretty inconsequential, except for the fact that landlord ends up in jail, so Thongs and Octopus have to take care of the baby, of course, and that's the next hour of the movie.
Yeah, so there's a whole thing where Octopus is driving the car, driving the van, but they get stopped at a police roadblock, and Octopus says, my license is revoked. And landlord's like, what the fuck? Your job is to drive the getaway car, and yeah, you have a revoked license? Switch spots with me. So they switch seats. As they start driving away, landlord forgets to turn on the headlights, and he just drives off the side of the road, like into some trees. and they crash the van. Octopus and Thongs run away with the baby, and Landlord gets caught and goes to jail for, I don't know, maybe a week.
Well, he says he's only going to be in jail for a week because they're only going to charge him with, like, reckless driving. And then it turns out that they're going to charge him with, like, evading arrest and such and such. So he doesn't get out of jail until towards the end of the movie. But the whole thing is like, oh, you'll just have to watch the baby for a couple days. Oh, it's going to be another week. It might be a month. So,
yeah, they keep getting phone calls from Landlord where he's like, oh, I got to be here for a little while longer.
And he talks to them in code in front of the cops, which
it's
is amazing. Because he's like, yeah, remember that poodle that we have? Well, it turns out that poodle isn't worth $7 million. It's worth $30 million. The poodle breeders are going to give us more money for that poodle we have. And there's like a cop standing right next to him not cracking this code.
I feel like it's not even code, though. Like, he's saying poodle, but I feel like at one point he's like, hey, you know how that baby that's like a poodle?
Yeah, like it's like he makes a reference to kidnapping a baby on the phone, which I think is hilarious.
And the thing is, the family is all over TV.
Yes.
Saying like, we just want our baby back. Like, we'll pay anything to have our son back. It is major news that this baby has been kidnapped. The cops nonchalantly stand around while Landlord is saying this on the phone.
Yeah, and so it becomes a thing where the price is they keep offering a bigger and bigger reward, and so the crime boss keeps upping their price to deliver the baby to him. Why they don't just give it to him at like on day one, I don't know.
Thongs and Octopus don't know what they kidnapped the baby for.
Well, there's one point where Landlord definitely tells them, but I guess that's towards the end of the movie. So instead, we just get Thongs and Octopus as you know, these young guys in their 30s to 50s trying to raise this baby. And it's harrowing.
Well,
this is terrifying.
This is what I would call the light comedy portion of the movie. I think that what they think is that, okay, we're just going to take care of this baby. Landlord's going to get out of jail, and then we're going to ransom the baby back to the family, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're just at home trying to take care of this baby. And at first, they are the most stupid.
They put the baby in a fucking washing machine at one point, and I was like, even though it was not convincing effects at all, I was very upset. It was very terrifying.
I think it's Jackie Chan's, or Thongs' police pal, Inspector Steve Mok, Biao Yin, who shows up and... like, they're having to hide the baby from him. Octopus puts it in the washing machine, puts him in the washing machine, and then Jackie Chan turns it on.
No, that's when Landlady shows up, because they're hiding this baby so that Landlady won't, like, see it and take it in her dementia.
That's right, it's Landlady. You're right about that. There's a scene later where they're hiding the baby from the police guy, the police officer.
Yeah.
There's the thing with the washing machine. There's a shitty diaper that gets thrown in Jackie Chan's face.
There's a couple of those, and I could do without. Yeah. But, like, it's like, mandatory. They had to check that box.
They don't know to give the baby milk. Like, at first they're trying to feed the baby, like, solid food and beer, which sounds probably funnier than it is. There's a long scene where they're singing songs to the baby. Oh, also they invent the game Peekaboo.
They've never heard of it before.
Yeah, they just realize that if they put a couple pillows in front of the baby's face and then move them away, the baby enjoys it. Like, they don't know Peekaboo and they just accidentally came across it. The scene where they're singing songs to the baby is really weird because, at least in the version we were watching, the subtitles were clearly to different songs.
Yeah, there's a part where they're clearly singing Jingle Bells, and the words are different, and then they're clearly singing a different song, and the words, the subtitles are for We Wish You a Merry Christmas, and that's when I said, Matt, is this movie the Chinese Die Hard?
There's also a part where they say, okay, I'm going to sing Elvis now, and they sing a song that is definitely not an Elvis song.
Yeah, so it's around this time that Thongs gets a call from his sister, because he's, like, they go to, like, a new mommy class,
well,
essentially.
This happens This happens right after. Well, it's right before the car chase, I guess.
Yeah. They go to like a new mommy class, and he meets the nurse who was on the escalator with them when they saved the baby at the beginning is also teaching the new mommy class. So they learn a little bit about taking care of a baby, and then they're on the bus with her, and Jackie Chan's talking to her and kind of like, you know, doing a love interest thing. Like the bare minimum of love interesting in this movie. And he gets a call, and his sister goes, "Hey, Dad had a stroke. He's out of intensive care, but he had a stroke." And Jackie goes, "Okay, I'll swing by after work." And then he never does.
Never.
This is actually a plot point. But like, we kept waiting for the follow-up to happen, and it doesn't for like half an hour.
Well, it happens half an hour later. He never goes until half an hour later. But this is also the part of the movie that I would call the American brand product placement part of the movie.
There's so much product placement in this movie.
Because Thongs and Octopus go to Toys R Us / Babies R Us and try to buy maxi pads?
Like, they're like trying to buy diapers, but they end up buying the cashier is like, "You're getting napkins? Who are the napkins for?"
Yeah, well, she thinks they're a gay couple, and it's some dodgy humor around that. So, but there is a little part where she asks who the mom is. Mm-hmm. And Octopus says that he's the mom. And so from that point on in the movie, Octopus is mommy and Thongs is daddy, which is kind of funny.
I think it's kind of cute. Because like, there's a part where at the end where, I mean, we'll get to it, but like Jackie Chan jumps over a dude and yells, "Daddy's here, mommy's here," which is pretty great.
They buy the wrong kind of diapers. They just buy all the wrong stuff at Babies R Us. Then they go to the baby class at the littlest gym. Then they go get on a bus that has an HBO advertisement on the back of it. At some point in here, they drink giant bottles of Pepsi. Gigantic.
So huge.
And they live in a building that is all Pepsi branded somehow.
Yeah. So while this is all going on, some of the other plots keep weaving in. Like the loan shark keeps coming after Jackie, and the wife keeps showing up to hassle Octopus. The nurse is there trying to take care of the baby. The cops are investigating.
It all converges in one scene at their apartment where the wife shows up, the loan sharks are there, the crime boss's guys are there to try to get the baby from them, and Jackie Chan's cop friend shows up. Eventually, it becomes clear that they have this baby. The cop tries to arrest Jackie Chan, and that's the one little exchange between Biao Yin and Jackie Chan, where he's trying to handcuff Thongs, and Thongs is like moving around, flailing his arms around a little bit. There's a pretty interesting little fight scene inside the apartment, just because the apartment has like all these like sliding doors, and like rooms are weirdly laid out, and like have partitions that don't go all the way up to the ceiling so Jackie Chan can jump over those. But as that's going on,
there's actually some good comedy in this bit, too, because people keep showing, like, Yuen Biao is there as Inspector Steve Mock, and people keep showing up that are like, there's a dude with, like, Bam Bam Bigelow flames tattooed on his head, like, very clearly criminals, and he just keeps going, "Oh, I'm Thongs' cousin. I'm his older cousin. This is also my cousin."
Yeah, there's like, there's an Indian guy, and Jackie Chan's like, "Yeah, that's my cousin." And Inspector Steve Mock has to be like, "I didn't know you had cousins of other races." And Thongs is like, "Oh, well, my dad was a sailor." And that leads to a whole thing where it's like, well, if he's your dad's son, then he'd be your brother, not your cousin. Which is actually, that's pretty
funny.
Yeah. But meanwhile, outside, Octopus is having a hell of a time.
Octopus is having a real rough day. This is the first time the movie kind of, like, there's, like, fits and starts. There's a really good scene early on where Jackie has to, like, climb down the outside of a building by jumping from air conditioner to air conditioner, and he actually does it in one take, which is really cool. But this is, like, the first time the movie, like, really wakes up and goes, "Oh, no, sorry, I was asleep. I'm a Jackie Chan movie."
Yeah.
And we get a car chase scene that's bananas. And this is like times 2, 3, and 4 that this baby is dead.
The baby is in a basket hanging off the top of the building. Octopus is trying to grab the basket, but he's having a hell of a time. And eventually the basket ends up falling to the ground, landing in a stroller kind of thing, and rolling away. Then it attaches to the back of a delivery van. In the car chase, Jackie Chan just fucking straight up Grand Theft Auto's a car.
There's a guy, it's a van that a guy is unloading stuff out of the back of, and Jackie jumps through the back, hops over the seat, and starts the car in the driver's seat in one fluid motion. It's fucking rad.
And Octopus gets on a scooter that is being driven by a young girl, and he goes, "I need to commandeer your scooter. Let's go." And the young girl's like, "I only have a permit, and I haven't driven it a lot, so I can't really do that." And Octopus just lies and goes like, I work for the police department. I will talk to the commissioner to get your permit moved up to a license if you just go. And so she starts driving really crazy because she's a gamer. They're all converging on this delivery van that is pulling the baby behind it. Jackie Chan in his SUV/van that he's driving pulls up behind the delivery van, starts flashing his lights, and the two drivers think that he's trying to rob them. Because it's like an armored car kind of thing. And so they keep going faster, and Jackie Chan has to like pull up beside them. Then he has to pull in front of them and stop. The van crashes into the back of the car that he's driving, and that baby is dead right that minute.
Yes. There's a part where the baby basket is on the side of the car, and he leans through the passenger side window and hoists the basket up right as a car T-bones the car he's in. Then he gets out of that car and walks across a busy intersection where there's a car and a truck, and they stop 1 foot away from Jackie Chan as he walks between them. And then as soon as he steps out of the middle of those cars, another car hits the truck from behind and knocks it into the first car. It's fucking amazing.
Yeah, that one shot is... The car chase is good. Even though it's weird for a while, because Jackie Chan, instead of like being on top of cars like he usually is inside one.
This is also where the two van drivers, like one of them like puts his hand on the other, goes, "Are you hurt?" And the guy goes, "No, I'm okay." And he goes, "Okay, good, because you know I really care about you." And the other guy goes, "Hey, where did you say you were from?" And in English, the guy goes, "I'm from Broke Mountain,"
which I guess was a really timely joke in 2006. But
Broke Mountain, so now, close. They left that one in. They left that one
in. Now is very dated and kind of misses the mark. Landlord's boss uncle is brought in by the crime boss, Max's dad, and is asked multiple times, "Hey, where's the fucking baby?" And uncle's like, "I don't know. I think it might be these two guys that worked for Landlord, Thongs and Octopus, but I'm not sure." Which is why the goons show up at their apartment and before the car chase. Uncle ends up getting killed by being put inside a giant freezer. This will be important later. So Landlord gets out of jail. He says, "Okay, it's time to hand over the baby to who we were going to take him to. It's this crime boss that Uncle used to work for. They really want the baby bad. They're going to pay us $30 million. So we're definitely going to go hand the baby over." Thongs finds out that the baby has a fever from his nurse girlfriend and is like, "Well, I'm taking the baby to the doctor, to the hospital to get him treated." And Landlord's like, "Okay, that's fine. We'll just go meet at the hospital." So they all meet up at the hospital. The baby gets like a little shot or some treatment, deals with the fever, no big deal. And we are taken to where the crime boss lives, it seems, which is an amusement park.
So this is when I was so bored. I was like playing games on my phone, half watching, like putting away scarves. Then this movie gets to its abandoned amusement park phase. And that's when I started to sit up a little bit. Well, that's when I started to get a little excited.
It's not an abandoned amusement park. It is a fully operational amusement park for one person.
Yes.
The crime boss's son, Max, who we saw die at the beginning of the movie.
And I gotta say, I started to get, like, a little interested, and then it, like, quickly dipped back down, because we get so much stuff that, like, you think is going to be, like, oh, there's dudes riding around on Segways now. Are we going to get some Segway Kung Fu? We do not get Segway Kung Fu. There's, like, oh, he's going up on a Ferris wheel. Are we going to get some Ferris wheel stuff? We don't really. Just Octopus climbs up a Ferris wheel and gets the baby back. There's a little bit on the roller coaster where it looks like Jackie Chan almost dies about 5 times while holding a baby. But at this point, I was like, yep, this is about all that we're going to get. It is not all we're going to get.
No, the stuff
it is not all we're going to get at all.
The stuff on the roller coaster, I'm almost totally sure, is CGI special effects, not practical effects.
I don't know. I mean, it looks pretty good.
The roller coasters look like they're CGI, but there is a thing where Jackie Chan is, like, walking around on this roller coaster track, and the roller coaster cars are just zooming by. Or, like, zooming up to him, and he's having to, like, drop down, catch the big cylinder of metal that holds up the track, and hold on to that, and then jump back up. I mean, Jackie Chan's still doing some crazy stunt shit at that point, but I don't think there are actual roller coaster cars going all around. Anyway, before any of that happens, Landlord, Octopus, and Thongs show up at the crime lord's mansion / amusement park and say, okay, we've got the baby. Here's the baby. You're going to ransom it back to the family, right? They kind of don't get an answer for it. They hand it over to this team of scientists that the crime lord has, and they get their $30 million. So they're walking away with the $30 million.
Well, and the whole time they're like, hey, make sure you don't give him any solid foods. He doesn't have his teeth yet. Like, he likes you to sing to him at noon, like, you know, before his afternoon nap. Like, they're being, like, very, like protective.
Yeah, there's this whole thing about how you have to hold the baby in your left arm or he'll cry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they just keep giving instructions on how to care for the baby because they become very attached. Then they see a lady in a lab coat take out a big syringe, poke it into the baby's foot, and extract a huge blood sample.
A very large amount of blood.
This is when Thongs in particular just gets overcome by parental feelings.
Yeah, he's and like, fuck this, no.
Just as the
I
gate
am that
is,
baby's father, apparently.
Yeah, just as the gate is closing, he shoves one of the briefcases full of money in there and jumps back in. And that's when they say, mommy's here, daddy's here. That leads to the stuff on the roller coaster, the stuff on the Ferris wheel, the stuff on the Segways. Eventually, they get subdued. The baby is taken to the crime boss. And they're like standing in front of the crime boss, Thogs and Octopus are. And the crime boss says, look, I understand that you wanted to protect this baby. It's a cute kid. It's easy to feel strong feelings for a kid, but he's mine now. And you forfeited your cash reward for bringing him to me. Because Landlord ran off with his fucking briefcase full of money. Because there was a scene a little earlier on that was the saddest fucking shit that ever happened, where Landlord brings the baby into his and landlady's apartment for a little while, and he shows landlady that there's a baby, and they cry and talk about their dead son. And it is rough.
Yes.
The crime boss is like, this is my grandson.
Yes.
The guy that you watched die at that hospital, he was my son. And this is my grandson, and I'm going to prove it. And the reason we took that blood sample is we're going to do a paternity test. The show turns into the Maury show for a minute.
Yeah.
And so they're going to do a paternity test to find out if this kid is really his grandson. And if he is, he's going to raise the grandson as his own.
In this weird amusement park shrine to his son.
Yes. There's also like a weird speech that he gives about how like when his son was little, he promised that he would build him an amusement park, and he did that. But he also promised him that he would build him a racetrack, and it only got half finished. So he's going to build the rest of the racetrack for his grandson.
Yeah. So then he goes into a little side room, and Matt, what's in that side room?
Remember how I said Uncle got frozen to death? All right, so in this room, we see the full interior of the big freezer that Uncle got put in earlier. Inside that freezer is the body of his son, Max, which seemingly is keeping his son's body cryogenically frozen with the hopes of possibly reviving him someday.
Yeah, except that he's not, like, in a chamber or anything. He's, like, literally laying on an ice table.
Yeah.
Like, he's a table that is covered in, like, ice cubes.
Well, it's made of ice. And he's just laying there. And he's just frozen. And so he brings the baby into that room with him and kind of talks to his dead son's body for a little while about, like, I got your son. After the crime boss gives this speech to his dead son, at the most inopportune time you could imagine, one of the scientists comes into the room and hands the crime boss a piece of paper with the paternity test results on it. As it turns out, not his grandson.
Not his grandson.
This drives the crime boss over the edge. He tells his dead son that this is not his grandson after all. He puts the baby next to him inside the freezer and walks out.
That baby is then in this cryogenic freezing room for 10 to 15 minutes.
Of screen time.
Of screen time. Okay, so at this point, somebody wakes up. Somebody, like, realizes they've been asleep at the wheel. So they wake up, and they grab that big switch on the wall, and the one that says movie with Jackie Chan in it, and they crank that shit down to Jackie Chan movie. And the first thing that happens is that the crime boss comes out and says, I have nothing to live for. I'm going to turn this place into an ice palace. And we started to freak out because we were like, does he have a freeze ray? Is that what's going to happen? Is he going to, like, freeze this entire amusement park? That's not what happens, but I fully believe it would have happened.
That doesn't really pay off in any demonstrable way, but it's heavily implied that he has just gone off the deep end. Like, this has sent him totally out there. So he just kind of leaves, and he leaves Octopus and Thongs inside this room, and right outside the cryogenic chamber is, you called it a boy cave. It's like a half gym, half playroom, full up with, like, a basketball court, full of, like, other sporting equipment. It's full of, like, robots and other toys, and it's full of drum sets and keyboards and other musical equipment. It's remember when Bart got adopted by Mr. Burns? It's that room with the train in it.
Yeah,
that he brings Milhouse to.
It's the castle from the film Blank Check.
Yes.
So there's gym equipment. There's a basketball hoop, an ATV, a spinner rack of toys. Like, when we see this guy die, by the way, he is an adult with a full beard. Jackie and Thongs and Octopus grab some dudes and they're like, where's that baby? And they're like, I don't know, he probably left it to die in that refrigerator. And they flip out and we get
They saw the crime boss go inside the freezer with the baby and come out without him.
Mm-hmm.
So they know pretty clearly. And so there's a huge fight scene where Thongs and Octopus are fighting dudes throughout this whole place. An ATV gets used. And it's like Jackie Chan rides an ATV into a guy.
He cranks up the gas and then, like, rides it and jumps off it and basically, like, throws an ATV at a dude. He, like, grabs a Casio keyboard and, like, spins it around his body. It is Jackie ass Chan ass fighting.
There's a thing where he gets, like, knocked into a drum set and on basically a henchman plays the drums with him.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
A robot hands Octopus a football, and Octopus uses that. Yeah. Also, at the top of the stairs, just outside the freezer, the door to the freezer, which is a giant safe door, FYI. There are these two guys in all white suits.
Yeah, they're like the twins from The Matrix Reloaded.
Kinda.
But they're chewing gum. They're like chewing gum while they fight.
They're chewing gum in really, like, quirky ways, I would say. But the rest of their bodies, aside from their heads and their mouths, are very still, right? And Octopus runs up the stairs, gets beaten up very quickly, falls down the stairs, and is, like, holding his stomach, like, ugh. Jackie Chan is like, what happened to you? And he goes, why don't you go up there and find out? And so Thongs is like, all right, I'll take care of this. He runs up the stairs, gets beaten up very quickly, and comes running down the stairs, or falling down the stairs, and he's like, oh, okay, I see what you're talking about. And so they decide that they have to go up there together. So they run up the stairs together. The two guys, once again, just beat the tar out of them really quickly. And there's this great shot of them just, like, quickly running back up the stairs to get back into position, getting back into the position they were, standing very still, and but chewing their gum.
Yeah.
Like, so those guys are pretty cool.
Yeah. So they start fighting, and they end up fighting their way into the safe that is also a cryogenic freezing chamber that's also, like, a room made of ice, like where Mr. Freeze would live. And the door gets locked and shut behind them, so they are now trapped in this room, fighting each other with lamps and fans. And at one point, like, they're using the lamp and the fan as, like, staffs, and they're fighting. And then, like, Octopus, like, plugs in the fan, and Thongs, like, looks back at him, and he's like, yeah, use it. And so every time he, like, holds the fan up to the guys, they get, like, too cold to continue fighting. It's some fucking Mario shit.
It is some Mario shit. But also the front protective metal grating, or whatever you call it, that would be covering the fan blade has been removed. So it looks for a second like Jackie Chan is just going to cut a guy to pieces with a fan blade.
Oh yeah, because this fan blade ends up chopping up the metal lamp that the guy is using, like, into pieces.
But instead, he uses the air from the fan to make the guys cold, and then they take some milk that's in their pocket and spray it through the fan onto them.
Yes, to freeze them even further.
Which means that they get frozen as fuck.
Yeah.
The baby has been in there longer than anybody.
Laying on ice. And there's actually some really good stuff in the fight scene with, like, Jackie and Lewis taking off their coats. And, like Jackie does the fighting, and Octopus, like, wraps the coats around the baby so the baby can be warm. And he's, like, holding the baby against his body. And then over the course of the fight, Jackie steals the suit jackets off of the bad guys and puts them on and gives one to Octopus, which is really fucking cool. It's a, like, genuinely great fight sequence.
Yeah.
Which is good, because this movie, like, I needed it. I needed it.
Eventually, they discover that there is no way out of this big freezer room.
Yeah.
And they're stuck in there. The baby's still stuck in there. These two guys who were wearing the white suits are freezing to death.
Yeah, because they're covered in liquid and have the fan on them.
So Thongs and Octopus go pick up the baby and hold it between them to keep him warm, even though he's definitely dead.
Definitely dead. So then what happens? Landlord comes back. He wasn't running out with the money. He was running out to get Inspector Steve Mock. And so,
well, it seems like Landlord has a change of heart because he left with the money.
He does leave with the money.
He does show up with Inspector Steve Mock. And what I assume is some other cops. There's a lot of other cops, actually. And they are outside the freezer room, and they're like, how do we get in there? And now the crime boss's henchmen, who kind of, like, don't care what happens anymore, are like, well, it's a really, complicated safe. It's the same kind of safe the CIA uses. It's a Swiss safe with lots of moving pieces.
Yeah, which is hilarious because, like, it's literally, like, the henchmen all go, eh, the boss went crazy. I don't really want to watch this baby freeze to death. I have to.
They don't know the combination. They don't know how to get in there because it has a huge combination lock. And so fucking landlord with his intense safe-cracking skills finally opens this uncrackable safe.
Yeah, and then he's like, hey, turn off everything. Turn off the air conditioning. It's making too much noise. Turn off, like, unplug everything. I need to hear this. And, like, even the, like, henchmen, like, hold their breath while he does it. It's pretty fun. And then he opens it up, and out come Jackie and out come Thongs and Octopus, and out come those two guys who have been soaked with milk and frozen. And I was like, oh, those dudes don't have noses anymore. Those dudes don't have fingers. Those dudes, like, Jackie has ruined those men.
Yeah, and for a movie that kind of vacillates between light comedy and intense, like, human tragedy, like I said, this is the most slapsticky moment. Because they come out and they have, like, you know, icicles hanging off their noses and their teeth are chattering.
Yeah. So then they run to the guy's garage and Octopus starts, like, trying to hotwire a car, and I'm not really sure why. I guess they wanted to, like, turn on the heater or something, or get the baby to a hospital?
That is the only thing I can figure, is that either they wanted to turn on the car's heater or jump in this very fast sports car and drive to a hospital as quickly as they could.
And but he can't get the car
get it to start,
because he's, like, sobbing. There's, like, hardcore acting going on here. Because, like, Jackie's got the kid on the hood of the, like, the baby on the hood of the car, and he's, like, trying to do, like, baby CPR on it. And Jackie Chan is, like, sobbing and being like, it's okay, daddy's here. Like, please, you know, please wake up. It's time for your milk. And, like, Octopus is just trying to hotwire the car, and he can't. And the baby's heart is stopped, and it's, like, so fucking dramatic. And then
the most banana shit ever happens. Jackie Chan, inside the garage, looks up and he sees a set of jumper cables on the wall. He pulls the jumper cables down. They wire it up to the car. I guess the motor is running by this point, or maybe they're just jumping it off the regular battery. I don't know. I don't know,
because you have to turn on a car to jump it.
Yeah, so I don't know what was happening with that. Also, it was very hard to totally pay attention to what was happening, because as soon as we realized what was going to happen with those jumper cables, we could not breathe.
We lost our fucking shit at this moment. Jackie clamps the jumper cables onto his pinkies, so now he's got electricity running through him, and he's using his index and middle finger as a little defibrillator to shock the baby's heart.
They jumpstart a baby!
They jumpstart a baby! I lost my goddamn mind.
They crank that baby.
They cranked him! They Chev Chilios the baby! And we're sitting, like, I was sitting here, like, doing that thing where you have your, like, your hands wrapped around your head, elbows straight up. Could not believe this. And it might not sound crazy, but after the rest of this movie, it was nuts.
The hobnobs I was eating for my snack situation come in a cylindrical tin. I had to hold it up to my face because I knew I was laughing so loud that it was coming through on the mic, and I didn't want it to be the only thing Chris would hear. So this is what I sounded like.
That is exactly what you sounded like. We were crying.
We were tears. Tears were coming out of our eyes. They jump-started a fucking baby.
So the baby lives. This is the end of the movie. The baby lives. Then
it's taken away in an ambulance.
And Jackie
Thongs and Octopus
are, like, running after the ambulance.
Yeah, they fall down crying because they're so emotionally drained.
Yes. As are we at this moment.
Thongs, Octopus, and Landlord all get taken to prison.
We cut to prison and we hear them talking, and, like, Landlord is like, I hope reincarnation is real, because you are my wife and I love you, and I want to, like, in my next life, I hope I marry you again, and I want to have 10 children. And Jackie's like, I'm sorry I wasn't there for my family when they needed me. And Octopus is like, I wasn't the man that you deserved. I treated you terribly. You are my wife. You are carrying my child. This has all gone wrong, and now I'm at the end of my life. And they are led from cells by a priest outside, and they are made to kneel. They have blindfolds put on. Three yep. men with assault rifles step up behind them, and they shoot them in the fucking head. Yep. And I, again, we're losing it.
Yep. Then the camera pulls back to reveal an audience and like a tour guide guy at the prison who says like, yes, back in the old days, this is what they used to do to prisoners.
Yeah, it was a play. They were putting on a play for like family day at the prison.
Let's thank our three prisoner volunteers who came today to help us out. With this demonstration, and everybody claps, and landlady is there, Octopus's wife is there,
Mac Daddy is there, like Mac Daddy brought there. His baby to see the show because they're friends now.
Yeah, because there's a scene earlier in the movie where Jackie Chan and Mac Daddy commiserate over both having kids at the hospital. Jackie Chan's dad and sister is there, and they're all like applauding and happy. Inspector Steve Mock comes up and tells them how they're going to get parole. Then the most unbelievable thing in the movie happens, which is the family of the baby that they kidnapped offers mm-hmm. them all jobs.
Yeah, she says, landlord, you're going to be in charge of the security system. Jackie, you're going to be the baby's bodyguard. Octopus, we know you like driving fast cars. You're going to be the chauffeur. We're going to give you jobs and get you out of prison. Because you saved my baby that you kidnapped.
What on earth? Chris, what are our high points of Robin B. Hood?
Oh, I think that's obvious, Matt. When this movie remembers that it's got Jackie Chan in it, like the crazy Donkey Kong going down the air conditioners outside stuff is really fun. Like those little bits and pieces of Jackie, like, fighting and jumping around stuff in the middle. And then, like, that, like, the big, big fight scene at the end is genuinely impressive and bonkers. And it is some stuff I have never seen before. It's not, like, up to, like, the wind tunnel fight in Operation Condor or a lot of the, like, bigger Jackie Chan fights. But, like, for 2006, like, there's some fun stuff when that happens. Also, the last 30 minutes of this movie are bananas and highly recommended.
The only series of movies that I can compare it to is Crank. The reaction that is intended from Crank is, I can't believe what I'm watching. I can't believe that this is happening, right? But the thing about Crank is that everything is happening to an adult. A guy is getting jump-started with jumper cables off a battery, and he's an adult. This movie takes it that much further because it's a baby.
Yeah, the baby does not learn kung fu and do Jackie Chan shit like I was hoping, but like it, like I would, if that baby like got up and started doing stunts with a ladder after being electroshocked through Jackie Chan's body, I would not have been surprised in that moment.
Also, this movie predates Crank 2 by 3 years. Crank 2 came out in 2009. This movie came out in 2006. The first Crank came out in 2006 also. But I don't think he jumped. Does he jumpstart himself in the first Crank?
No, I guess he does. Crank 2 is high voltage. Crank 1 is he can't get bored.
So he does not jumpstart himself in the first movie.
He does not jumpstart himself in the first movie. I do not believe.
So this movie predates that by a while. Yeah. By 3 years.
I don't even know how you think this up. Like, oh yeah, we're going to put the baby in the cryogenic room and then bring him back to life with a car battery and some jumper cables routed through Jackie Chan's body. Like, that's the fucking movie. Like, that's your entire movie.
Like, okay, if I could relate this to pro wrestling for a second. For the longest time, what I've said about pro wrestling, and this isn't as true now as it used to be, but when I was younger, all I wanted from pro wrestling was to be surprised, right? I just wanted things to happen that I didn't expect.
You'd love that Russo swerve.
I did, well, that kind of is what weaned me off of it, right? The stuff that happened that I didn't expect that didn't make any sense. This movie swerves us so hard, so many times, where it's just like, what? 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 And it makes just enough sense that it is very cathartic. Chris, what are our low points of Robin B. Hood?
The pacing in this movie is god-awful. It's, like, it is legitimately, frequently, very, very boring and very, like, weird, like, weirdly dark. Like, I when we get to the execution scene at the end, I was like, oh my god, this movie's, like, legit gonna end with an execution. And while that was a swerve, that was not out of tone with the rest of the movie.
No, because what might be the worst scene in the movie is the scene I mentioned between landlord and landlady, where he shows her the real baby. And he's like, here's a baby. And she cries and he cries and they're just sad. They're just sad people. And they're not going to keep the baby anyway. They're going to go give it to the crime boss.
Yeah.
Like, that stuff is too sad for this light comedy movie about two criminals trying to raise or take care of a baby.
Yeah. You could easily, easily cut an hour out of this movie. Like, you could cut this thing down to 90 minutes and lose nothing because it's very repetitive.
There are much easier ways to establish Jackie Chan is bad to his family, Octopus is bad to his wife, and Landlord is sad.
Yeah. Well, each of those things gets established like three or four times is the problem.
Yeah.
And even though all those plots kind of start converging at one point, it's not necessary. Like Thongs alone has two big problems outside of the, like, he has a B plot and a C plot to himself, which is his gambling addiction and his, like, neglecting of his family in favor of his crime lifestyle. Like,
and his romance with the nurse.
And his romance with the nurse, which also doesn't go anywhere. So one or two of those three plots could just go away. Like, if he was just a criminal and we saw him, like, blowing his money on gambling and then we didn't have the loan shark, or if we had the loan shark and he had, like, and we didn't see as much of the family, it would have worked fine. Like, there's so much of this movie that could be cut out.
The other low point that I'll say, and this is why it seems apparent to me this movie didn't get released in a big, big way in the United States. It seems to have only gotten a home video release.
Mm-hmm.
Without a ton of fanfare. A lot of the baby peril stuff is either very chintzy looking, mm-hmm. or too perilous. Baby's Day Out levels of baby peril.
Yeah.
And there are things in this movie that seem very specifically Chinese, or very specifically Hong Kong, maybe, that don't necessarily translate to an American or Western audience. Because there was one point in this movie right after Thongs and Octopus left the baby on the bus where you asked me, Matt, are you following this movie? And I kind of had to be like, mostly, but there's some stuff that I don't get at all.
Yeah, it's very, like, none of the stuff that happens is constructed very well. Like, up to, like, legitimately up to the last half hour, and that's just, like, mind-boggling action stuff. Like, I think the decision to have Jackie be a down-on-his-luck criminal is fine, but, like, the movie takes a real long time before we're allowed to like and root for Jackie Chan, which is, like, look at that guy. He's so affable. Like, you want to root for him from the beginning, and you don't. Like, if they would have made him, like, criminals with a heart of gold, like, maybe, you know, Jackie was going to go pay off his gambling debts, but then, oh, like, my neighbor really needs those chemotherapy medicines. It would have given us something to latch onto that we don't really have. Like, the characters are not irredeemable, but the characters take a real long time to come around to being even, like, decent.
Yeah, and they're never Robin Hood figures. Which makes the title. All right, Chris, what are our final thoughts on Robin B. Hood?
Again, completely recommended, but like when you get bored, skip ahead 10 minutes. Like, make sure you watch the car chase scene. Make sure you get enough of the movie to know what's going on so that you can hit those that last half hour. But, you know, feel free to make your own edit with the old remote control, with the old the progress bar on your window. Absolutely recommended, but, like, only if you can fit this movie into 90 minutes watching it.
I wish there was a way for me to tell everybody what to watch this movie for without having to give it away.
Yes.
But the way we do this show is we have to recap the movie and say what happens. So if you've listened to this whole thing, you know about the jumper cables and jump starting the baby. But we didn't see it coming at all. And the surprise of that, I can't even describe it.
Yeah.
It was incredible. It's still worth watching to get to that point. And the thing about it is that you as the audience are given a little bit of time to put it together. Because you see him see the jumper cables well before it actually happens. And it's just... I don't know if I've ever reacted to a movie like that before. It left me speechless.
We were not disappointed by the description of this movie that said, the last half hour is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen. Spot on, CJ. Spot on.
Thank you, CJ, for that recommendation. We really appreciate it. If you would like to help us out here on Movie Fighters, and if you would like to make monthly snack situation specials happen so we can finally eat this Chinese bag of snacks, please go to patreon.com/warrocketajax. And throw in what you can. As little as a dollar a month would help us out. If everybody who listened to the show donated a dollar a month, we would get to that level to do that, to eat these Chinese snacks, and then some. So if you can do that, we would greatly appreciate it. Once again, patreon.com/warrocketajax. Our website was designed by Sean Baugus. Our music is by Michael Kill, whose name is spelled M-I-K-A-L-K-H-I-L-L. You can find all his music on Bandcamp and at his website. We will be back in February with another episode of Movie Fighters. Maybe another listener request. If you have a movie that you think will surprise us and delight us as much as Robin B. Hood did, please send it our way at moviefighterscast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, everybody. See you next month. This has been a Kaleidos Media production.